today on Real Radio.
It's almost like we have a culture that's adrift. And somebody needs to stand up and say, that way. Well, that someone is the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God is the sign, is the direction, is the course.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series, Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message called The Anointing of His Word, Part 2. The Apostle Peter was a disciple of Christ, of course, who later on became the leader of the first church. Now, Peter is writing to Christians who are learning how to live out their faith in a whole new world. They faced incredible opposition. Suffering and sorrow awaited them on a regular basis. Sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? In part one, we saw how Peter spent a lifetime going through trials. It wasn't to harm him, but to get God's truth down deep inside of his heart. The Christian life is all about letting go of those things that would cause us to stumble. We are at war with an old deception. Satan wants us to believe that he doesn't exist and that there is no hell. There are even those who promote a different Jesus than that of the Bible. Those fiery trials and deceptions are a tremendous challenge to our faith, but like Peter, we can't give up. Instead, we allow the power of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of God's Word to perfect us and to prepare us for heaven. So today on day three of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that having a relationship with Jesus Christ means that we've received the benefits of his victory on the cross. We can keep our heads up and our eyes fixed on him no matter what the world throws at us. Every disappointment and humiliation we endure right now, it's used by God for our benefit in the end. And now in his message called The Anointing of His Word, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
So God, I see your Bible. I know it's true. I want that done in my life. But most often it doesn't get done in my life because you've given me too much freedom, God, and I don't like it. See, when we were not Christians, we wanted all the freedom. Then we become a Christian, we find out freedom can hurt. So I want my freedom under a new master, Jesus. And you see, I want him to make me do it. And then he turns around and says, I will not make you do it. This is a relationship, Jack, between you and I. It ebbs and flows based upon our closeness. Church, I'm speaking for all of us right now. Our relationship will flourish or sink based upon our proximity to Jesus. And frankly, that's too much freedom. I want to be a robot. I want to do the right thing, and I don't want to mess up. And God says, well, I don't want to sit down and talk to a robot. I want to talk to a real person. Personality to personality is the will of God. And the Bible there tells us in Romans that we need to change the way that we think, and I need to change the way that I think. The Bible says here he's building us up into a spiritual house. Don't need to dwell on it. It just simply means this, an air house. We get the word pneumatic, meaning a spirit, a wind-driven house. Church, listen, this church, I don't care regarding its last 25 years of success, if you can even call it that. People look on the outside and they think this is a successful church. We don't know that yet. The day of judgment hasn't come yet. And God says, I build a spiritual house. This is not a spiritual house. You are the stones that make up that spiritual house. The result will be examined on the day of judgment. It's not the new screens. I don't like the new screens because it shows nose hairs, all kinds of things. I told the guys after first service, they turned the thing on. I said, back that camera away. Do something. Put a filter on there. Make me look like George Clooney or something. Can you do that? If that technology is really good, make me look like Tom Cruise or something. But it's not, we got the budget one, so you're stuck with this view. God's word is to transform us. We are a spiritual house. We can build all this stuff. We can get new carpet on the stage. Look, you're sitting on new seats. Are they getting more comfortable for you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, don't get too comfortable because we're going to heaven soon. Carpet's nice, you know. It's funny. I know we used to drink coffee in here with the white chairs, and now we have coffee-colored chairs, and you can't drink coffee now. So I don't know. What color do we want? We want coffee color. All this stuff is nothing. Well, I like the way the building was the old way. It doesn't matter which way it is. Don't get rooted down here. We're going to heaven. And none of this stuff is anointed. None of this stuff is anointed by God. We have to consecrate it to God, whatever it may be. Doesn't matter. Verse 6 teaches us that we have the benefits of the victory of Jesus Christ himself. Look at this. It says, therefore, it is also contained in the scripture. Now, to me, this is remarkable. Bible students, tune in. Don't miss this. This drives certain types of theologians nuts. Watch this. Peter is speaking to a Jewish-Gentile mixed church in the Roman Empire. Are you with me, everybody? Watch what he says to them. Jew and Gentile mixed church. Therefore, or he says, behold, he's quoting the Old Testament, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. Notice, precious. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Take a deep breath, right with me. Yes. That's, watch, listen, that's for our benefit. You say, wait, Pastor, beg to differ. That's Old Testament. That was spoken to the house of Israel. Oh, true. You're right. But why is Peter quoting it to a Gentile church? Because the Bible says in the book of Colossians that in and through Jesus Christ, all the promises are yes and amen from God. What a remarkable, awesome thing. So watch what he's doing. Peter, the Jew, speaking to a Jewish, Gentile, Christian world. He says regarding the benefits of the victory of Christ, the prophecy of Isaiah 28, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. That's good news. That's how you build an edifice upon. Elect, precious, making it personal. This is a living stone he's talking about. And whoever believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Listen, do I have your attention? Again, it's so quiet. Church, listen. He is saying to a group of people who are being mocked, ridiculed, and driven from city to city because now they're homeless and fleeing for their lives because they're Christians. And he announces to them this precious thing. You're not going to be put to shame. They might have stopped and said, are you kidding me? We've been put to shame ever since we accepted Christ. Maybe that's true for you. Maybe you came to Jesus Christ and your family hasn't stopped mocking you since. This word means that in the end, when all mankind stands before God in the day of judgment, for you, the believer, you will not on that day be put to shame. Meaning nobody will mock you on that day. Nobody will degrade you that day. You will not be devalued that day. It means that on that day, you will not be, on the day that it counts, you will not be put to shame. Think of that. Your future is absolutely secured in Christ. You will not be put to shame. The victory benefit comes from Jesus. And then third and final argument in our closing moments is verses 7 to 10. And the anointing of his word is the separation of us from this world. Now, this is not a surprise to any of us, the separation of the believer from the world. The Bible tells us the moment that you came to Christ, you were separated from this world. Then the Bible tells us that we ought to be careful who we hang out with and who we fellowship with because we're separate from this world. It doesn't mean we ignore the world, but when I talk about what I'm about to talk about, I don't mean it perhaps in the sense that it sounds. Look at verses 7 to 8. We learn that we ought to turn our back on this world, but not in the way you might think. As a believer, we're to turn our back on this world, not in carelessness and not in condemnation. I'm not saying turn your back on this world of hurt. This world needs us. They don't appreciate us, but they still need us, right? I mean this. We've turned our back on this world because we're heading in another direction now. As a believer, we're going somewhere. We're en route. And all along that way is our Christian growth, sanctification, development, trials, tribulations, victories, joys. Yes, absolutely. But we've turned our back on our former world and former life, and we're going in a whole new direction. And he says something remarkable. Watch this. Notice the oppositions or contradictions. Therefore, verse 7, to you who believe, he is precious, highly valued, perfectly placed. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. Oh my goodness, church, listen. Have you turned your back, not in a negligent way, but have you turned your back from this old world of yours and you're moving forward towards Jesus? The Bible tells us that those who are still back there living in that world, they are still in a state of disobedience, and we pray they don't die that way. To you who are believers, Jesus is precious. But to the disobedient, a blessing turns into a curse. Behold, I lay in Zion, the chief stone, the cornerstone, a reference to Jesus Christ. In the Gospels, Jesus himself said, I am that cornerstone. Jesus, in another place, says, you should throw yourself upon the stone, lest the stone fall upon you. In this passage, Peter quoted in the Old Testament. By the way, he's done it numerous times now. Imagine right here today. Jesus is precious, and he's the chief cornerstone. He's the foundation. We always have a place to anchor to. Amen. Always, always. And he's so precious. And we can have the worst experience of our life, and we can run to Jesus. He's always there. He'll never leave us or forsake us. That same stone rejected, is a stone that will grind you to powder in the end of in the day of judgment. That's what this means. The world, the Bible says, is perishing. And notice what we're supposed to do about this. It says that we have this identity now in verses 9 to 10. But you are a chosen generation. Watch. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. Okay, put yourself in their sandals for a second. They don't feel chosen. They're being abused. A royal priesthood? We don't even have churches to attend. We're on the run. A holy nation? We've lost our nation, materially speaking. His own special people? That's us? Do you feel like at times that you're one of God's chosen special people? No, but God says you are. Notice these amazing things. There's the disobedient, that the stone will fall upon them, and they stumble over that stone, and they can't deal with Jesus. And then there's the camp of the believer. Jesus is precious. He's our foundation. And he calls us, even when we don't have the things of this world, he reminds us that I didn't promise you the things of this world. I promise to make you an absolute chosen generation. This is going to take faith by us people to receive his truth today. He says, you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people. That's what he says. And we end with this. I love this. Look at the ending. Look at verse 10. Who once were not a people. If you know your Old Testament, see, this fascinated me. That's a reference to Gentiles. You who were not a people. That's the Gentile world. This is a Jew, Peter, talking to a Gentile world. You who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. Do you believe that? Listen, don't say yes. Is that true in your life? I'm not talking about your performance. I'm not talking about how good you were this last week or how what kind of a day you're having now today. God says you were once not a people. In other words, you didn't belong to me. But now you do belong to me. In a sad and broken and lonely heart today, that should be fresh air to you. He says, who had not obtained mercy, you didn't obtain it, but now have obtained mercy. Mercy. Mercy is me standing here deserving absolute discipline, judgment, and punishment. And God says, well, because now you're my people, I don't deal with you like that now. I extend mercy to you. I had one conversation this week with somebody who said, you know what, Pastor Jack, this is what I found out, and I just have to ask you, I think God's punishing me. Why? Well, because these things are happening in my life. I said, that's not punishment. Church, listen, you need to hear this. If you're a Christian, God doesn't punish his kids. He disciplines us. It's very different. Very different. Punishment is when you pay. Discipline is when God corrects us. It's a big difference. Don't think for a moment with what you're going through as a believer that God is punishing you. He tells you right here, you were once not mine, but now you are mine. And so mercy is bestowed upon you. God says, I'm at work. I'm working something out. It may not be to your timing. It may not be to your standards, but I'm working something out. And then later at the end of this last week, a message came here to the church. And that message ended with in a certain way that by law, legally, I had to respond, had to find out immediately, who is this person? What's their number? Because if we didn't respond quickly to that message, then we could in some way be liable. So the first thing I was given the number and I called the man, and on the other end of the phone, the young man, I said, hi, and I introduced myself. I said, you sent us a note, and the note ended with you saying something. I'm not going to tell you what it is, saying something, and by law, I have to ask you right now, are you planning on committing suicide? I need to know that right now. I have to ask you that question right now. Are you contemplating suicide? Well, no, but my life, and he went down. And I listened, and by the time he got done, poor life story of all this wrongness. And then we began to open up the word, and I gave him homework. As far as I know, I've never met him before. I asked him to be here today to meet me in the foyer or in the courtyard because I just want to say hi to him. But listen, as I was reading and giving him scriptures, you could hear a change in his attitude. You could hear it. He's of the millennial generation. I'm not. I spoke from, as it were, some other ancient generation to a young person. Great thing was, I wasn't speaking. I gave Bible. You could feel him lift. And then I told him, like a father, I said, look, I'm telling you like a father. I'm telling you now, you will read these verses, these chapters, you will read it. Do you understand? Repeat that back to me. Yes, I will do that. Okay. And listen, just with the direction, you could feel him be happy about it. It's almost like we have a culture that's adrift. And somebody needs to stand up and say, that way. Well, that someone is the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God is the sign, is the direction, is the course. And he said to me after he spoke, he said, I feel like my life has no direction. I feel like I have no purpose for existence. And I told him that was a lie from the enemy, that he had been focusing on the wrong things, but to focus on God's word and to watch what happens. You know what I did and what he's going to do and what you do? It says right here that we might proclaim our testimony is the word of God. Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for the fact that your Bible never gives up on us. We may give up on one another. We may give up on ourselves. Lord, you will not give up. I'm thankful, God. I'm standing here today that you're not the one who gives up. And so, Lord, today I pray that while we're here right now, that there'd be someone perhaps in this privately today, church, if you're here as a believer, and maybe you just need to focus for a few moments right now on the fact that God's anointed word is in you, and God wants you to walk in these transformative truths that you heard today, that you are a royal priesthood, that you are a generation now of eternity, that you are God's special people, that he has anointed you to go and reach out to others, all because Jesus has reached out to us, and until he comes back, we are to be his priesthood to the world. And maybe you're here today and you've never known Jesus Christ as the one who died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the dead. You've never known him as your high priest. You may have had a priest in life. You may have had many priests. But you're not supposed to have many priests. You're supposed to have one. And that one is Jesus. Right where you're at today, you can say, Jesus Christ, I now proclaim you my great high priest, my Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer, my King, the one now, my sacrifice to take my sin and wash it away. I ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Anointing of His Word, Part 2. Thank you for joining us today. And our prayer for you is that when you face a seemingly impossible task, especially in these troubling times, you'll determine in your heart not to be discouraged. The Anointing of His Word, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Where is America headed? If the radical left has their way, it will be socialism, keeping you, your family, and your God locked up. How about globalism? Are you ready for a singular world government? Mike Huckabee says,
if we yield over and decide that America is not unique, it's not special, it's not extraordinary, well, at that point, we've already capitulated to nothingness. We no longer are the United States of America.
Now, a documentary, After Trump, A Warning to America. This must-see film is now on demand at jackhibbs.com/aftertrump.
Now, if Donald Trump would have had a hat that said, make the world great again, the world would have fallen over in love with him.
Featuring interviews with Mike Huckabee, Jack Hibbs, Franklin Graham, Eric Metaxas, Alveda King, and nationally syndicated talk show host, Dennis Prager.
The left, in the words of Barack Obama, want to fundamentally transform the United States of America. I don't. I want to improve the United States of America because I love it. You can't love something you want to fundamentally transform.
Watch on demand now. After Trump, A Warning to America. It's time to rescue our America, and it's up to us, we the people.
Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny.
Go to jackhibbs.com/aftertrump, view on demand, or get your own DVD copy to view and share with a friend for your gift of any amount. jackhibbs.com/aftertrump. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.